Buccaneers fans, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports is all fired up. We got a game on Sunday. He will be at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, drinking beer, eating food, 49th Street just south of Ulmerton Road. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. He's the Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford, the King of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the Custodian of Canton. Ira, we are fired up today. I got good news for you, Ira. You ready for some news?
Oh, I'm always ready for some good news, my man.
Carlton Davis, Thursday afternoon, he's telling the media, I'm good to go. 75 plays, I can do it. Let's go. Todd Bowles was asked about it on SiriusXM NFL Radio. Arians was clear. Davis should be ready on Sunday, all fired up. So the Buccaneers, Ira, Jamel Dean, he's got a bruised shoulder, but it's just a bruise. That's exactly what they called it. You know, pain tolerance issue, whatever, bruises heal. We know what that is. Nobody's saying a mild sprain. They're just calling it a bruise. This is like breaking historic news, Ira.
Tremendous news for Buck fans, Lee, especially against an Atlanta team that really doesn't have many weapons. Ridley's gone AWOL. No, nobody knows what's going on with him. He's not playing. They got Patterson, you know, and they got Pitts, and they got a statue named Matt Ryan, who's trying his best. Arian said it the other day, Lee. Coach, you got any concerns? What do the Bucs have to do, you know, in these last 6 weeks? He said, get healthy. That's the only thing on Arian's mind. And you know what, Lee? I agree with him. Even with the battered bodies up to this point, the Bucs are the favorites to win the Super Bowl. The favorites. They are number one. And that's without some of these guys. Good news on Ali Marpet. This team's coming together, Lee. Now, you read my story the other day. You got to show up mentally in Atlanta. And you can't have your mind still in Indianapolis. Otherwise, you know, you let them hang around, you can get beat. I mean, you almost got beat week two. It was 28-25 going into the fourth quarter. It can happen, Lee. But on paper, the Bucs should be 9-3 and, in my opinion, virtually wrap up the South. I know you think that's only step one, and it is. But, Lee, the bodies are coming back, the reinforcements. We'll see what's going on with Devin White. But things are coming together for this football team very nicely.
Yeah, they're coming together. I'm not ready to put a W in the bank with Atlanta. They've got dangerous weapons. I've always been a Matt Ryan kind of guy. And I'm just going off the top of my head. The Falcons gave the Bucs a fight until the fourth quarter.
They did.
And given the struggles with the secondary when a starter goes down, I know Carlton Davis is supposed to be back. We don't, you know, we'll see. I'm not ready to lead pipe lock that as a W yet. Of course, I hope so. It's starting to get to me a little bit. You know, so many people talking and acting as if the division's wrapped up already. I'm like, whoa, let's hold off here. Hey, the Bucs got slapped around by an inferior team, just two inferior teams a couple weeks ago. Yeah, it's a little bit of a different team. Gronk is back and healthy. Sean Murphy Bunting is back and healthy. But, you know, not only should they not forget about Indianapolis, they shouldn't forget about New Orleans, and they shouldn't forget about Washington. Maybe it's just me. I just think that the Falcons have a lot better weapons, and it's a much more dangerous team than it seems like people are giving them credit for. Real quick, Ira, and this also worries me because – you know, sooner or later, the odds are not with you. Brady owns Atlanta. He's 9-0 against him. And 282 attempts total against Atlanta, Brady has two picks.
Wow.
Ira, let's take Lee's cue here. Just give our picks right now. Lee has set the table there. So, Ira, why don't you set some more of the table, give your pick, and then we'll go around the horn.
All right. Two quick points I want to make here. Atlanta, Steve, has been terrible at home this season. Terrible. I believe they're 1-4. The one win is a tight one over the powerful New York Jets. So, and two, going into this game, I'm sending this out to Todd Bowles. I know he listens to this podcast. Todd, if you got healthy people back there, I don't want to see 9-yard cushions. Not on Sunday. I don't want to see it. Having said that, Steve, as the only guy that picked the Bucs to beat the Colts last week, and I don't get a lot of chance to flap my gums about my picks. I'm certainly going with the Bucks again. I think they've learned their lesson when they overlook teams like Washington, which happens to have won three in a row, Lee. But you shouldn't lose to the Saints, as Lee says many times about Simeon and Heineke, and he's right. So I got the Bucks winning. I think they'll have a nice big lead. Atlanta will make a charge. That's the way of the world in the NFL. And the Bucks win by 10 points, 30-20, Buccaneers.
Lee, you want me up next or you want to go?
I'll get it out of the way. I was going to pick Bucks 24-23, but I think Gronkowski is worth a touchdown. So I'll say 30-23 Bucks. Close game. Gronkowski touchdown late in the game pulls him through. Unlike you, Ira, I'm a big believer in Atlanta's weapons. Big believer in Kyle Pitts, who's getting better and better. Big believer in their receivers. Patterson's dangerous, of course. And so I'm much more fearful of Matty Ice's weapons than you are. I know you're not a big Kyle Pitts fan. I think he's going to be a hell of a player.
Yeah, he's coming around.
All right, guys, here we go. Here we go. I watched Atlanta and the Jaguars last night on the condensed game. Atlanta only beat them because they ran the ball down the Jaguars' throat. It was like 30 carries for 150-something yards. Before that, they scored 3 points in the previous two games. This Atlanta team sucks beyond belief. They are horrible. They have not beaten a good team, a winning team, all season long. They allow this second most points in the NFL. The Bucs are going to just clobber them because they're so much better at this point. Atlanta's gotten worse. And again, that there's no reason to think they can beat a good football team. I'm going 38-13 Bucs.
Wow, Stevie. You know, normally trash teams like that, Lee, somehow they've got 5 wins, Lee. They do have 5 wins. And as Arians pointed out, it sounds crazy, but I think they're only maybe a game out of a wild card spot. And that tells you more about the NFC than it does about the Falcons. But these points are right, Lee. They got 5 interceptions. 5. I mean, Mike Edwards has 3. They got 15 sacks. 15, you know, in 11 games. Terrible. Not much defense on that side, Lee. I don't see how they're going to stop the Bucs, Lee.
Just to run it down for the listeners, the Falcons, they beat the Giants by 3 points for their first victory of the year. Then they beat the Jets by a touchdown. They got by Miami by 2 points when Miami was in the heart of their losing streak. They beat the Saints with Trevor Siemian by 2 points in what was a wild and wacky game. And then they beat the Jaguars.
Here's the only thing Brady said that I found very interesting. He was talking about, you know, any given Sunday, and he's like, anybody with just average talent could be 8-8. And I'm thinking about, so wait a minute, you were supposed to study the Bucks so much before you signed with them. Here was this team that they had one winning season in like 12 years. You know, that says more about you, Brady, being so talented. You made this horrible team a Super Bowl champion, or you weren't really studying the Bucks, one of the two.
Steve, you know, I saw something the other day besides the odds on winning the Super Bowl, where the Bucks are listed at number one. Odds on the league MVP, Brady was kind of a prohibitive favorite. Mm. Prohibitive. There was a big gap between Brady and, you know, Aaron Rodgers or whoever was listed second. Now, Kyler Murray had a chance, Lee, before he got hurt. I don't even think Brady's playing that great the last 3 games. I mean, I really don't. You know, I think he's playing okay, Steve. And,
Ira, you should know the answer to this question, Ira. I'm disappointed in you. I'm going to tell you why you should know.
Well, Steve, I have a vote for the league MVP, so I'm into this thing.
I know. This is why. I know you got your vote. And first, I got to tell everybody, though, Sean Sullivan, GM at Bill Curry Ford, he reminded me through his Best in Class podcast that your vehicle is worth more than it's ever been before. He's buying vehicles because the demand is so high and trade-ins are worth more than ever before. And all the end of the year deals are going at Bill Curry Ford. But one of them also is how much they're buying vehicles for. So see Sean, if you want to get rid of your vehicle, go to BillCurryFord.com or call him or head to the dealership a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. Bill Curry Ford, GM Sean Sullivan, is your friend in the business. He's Ira's friend. He's our friend, my friend, Lee's friend. He's fired up to help Bucks fans personally. This is just such a great time of year to be doing business. A lot of great incentives from Ford. BillCurryFord.com. And the Sage himself, in person, 1 o'clock kickoff Sunday, Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater. You can hang with the Sage. You order your food. You enjoy Florida's very best craft beer. You can take some home with you. And it's just a great time outdoors on the patio, covered seating, great sound, great sight lines, or indoors, great Wi-Fi to keep track of your fantasy football. Maybe you're almost in the playoffs. BigStormBrewery.com is the website where you can find Big Storm beer all over Central Florida, including in Publix, their tap rooms, BigStormBrewery.com. Ira, the answer to your question, you're wondering, is because the National Writers, as a whole, the body that picks the AP, MVP, they're not looking at every game of the year. They're watching a few big games, and they're looking at the stats. And right now, Brady leads the NFL in touchdowns. He's got over 100 passer rating that they look at. He's got the second most long balls in the league. He's taken the fewest sacks. He's completed the most passes. And the Bucks are 8-3. Don't want to jump the gun. They're 8-3. So that's what they're looking at. That's what the odds makers are wondering, who the votes will go to, not necessarily who's the best football player.
You're right, Lee and Steve. Lee, I think Aaron Rodgers is a strong candidate. We saw what happened to Green Bay when Rodgers was unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
They stunk. They stunk against Kansas City in a game that Green Bay's defense played very well. And you would think Green Bay would have won that game if Rodgers was on the center. So, you know, you can't knock Rodgers as an MVP guy. I mean, they could end up with the number one seed in the NFC. He's the primary reason. I mean, they got a good defense. They run the ball pretty well. They got a great receiver. But I think Brady's got more weapons at his disposal, Lee. I think that's a fair point.
All right, Ira, we've got to get to the elephant in the room, and that's not your date back in the 40s with Mae West. It is Antonio Brown, who, of course, with Mike Edwards, has been suspended 3 games by the NFL for using some sort of phony vaccine card, presumably the one with the little CDC label on it that everybody who's been vaccinated has, submitting that to the Bucks, and now he's been suspended. We know the backstory on it. But, Sage, you wrote a column, a very intriguing column, that explained your stance. And, as you believe, always looking out for the fans, thinking about the fans first and about the team and your 40-plus years of experience. And, of course, you have a relationship with Coach Arians. Let me clarify for the people. You know what, Ira? I will not even do that. I'll let you do it, because the haters came out in force, misrepresenting you in force, and the stage is yours, Ira.
Steve, it's the most comments I ever got on a story, which I like. However, I do read the comments, and it was about 95-5 against. Steve, the facts of the column are uncontested, and here's what I mean. Steve, he misrepresented himself to Bruce Arians, to Jason Light, to his teammates, and to the Glazers. That's uncontested. If it was contested, then you would not have seen the NFLPA sign off on the statement on Friday. They would have tried to get this thing to go to arbitration or fought it somehow, and they did not. And I don't care how the NFL wants to couch it about misrepresenting his status. We all know what happened. He got a fake vaccination card. Steve, here's my main points for this column, and I want to reiterate them. He made Bruce Arians look like a fool, and you have to pay the price for that. Bruce Arians is the guy who stood up in front of the media and said with a great deal of pride, "We are fully vaccinated." That wasn't a lie, because Arians thought that was the case. Nobody's suggesting Arians knew what was going on with Antonio Brown. Nobody. But he made Arians look like a fool. Arians, Steve, is also, I believe, if not the number one coach right in the conversation of coaches who talks all day long about COVID protocols and what a great job the organization has done in that regard. Again, he makes Bruce Arians look foolish. And Steve, one point I didn't make in the column, the NFL weighed in, they levied their penalty, but we've got nothing from the Bucks. We've got nothing from the Bucks. Maybe the Bucks think that's enough. But he lied to the organization and everybody in it, and he has suffered no punishment from a team standpoint. Now, we shall see. Arians says it's not over. Nothing's been decided. Steve, if you're going to release him, you release him yesterday. You don't wait till he's coming back 3 weeks from now. That's not going to happen. So, Steve, all I'm saying, and here's my last point, and nobody's arguing this one, from many different sources. When Arians relented and welcomed Brown to One Buck Place, the Bucks told Brown, the Bucks told Brown's agent, the Bucks told everybody who would listen, this is your last chance. You're on a short leash. One screw up and you're gone. And I don't want to hear from any Buck fan that this doesn't constitute a screw up. I think that's putting it mildly. So in that situation, is Arians going to live up to his word? I mean, that's why, Steve, in the column, while I never explicitly called for Brown's release, I said this is a tough call. And I think it is a tough call, and ultimately I think he's going to be a Buck. Let us not downplay what Antonio Brown, a repeat offender in the National Football League, did to this organization. He lied, where apparently Aaron Rodgers did not lie to his organization. Rodgers lied to the media. And as much as I'm a member of the media, Steve, that does not equate with what Antonio Brown did. It just doesn't.
Couple of questions for you, Ira. Why do you think so many fans reacted the way they did? Is it just fans who think the whole vaccine thing is ridiculous? They came down on you as somebody who wasn't blasting the vaccine? Or do you think it's something different? But number two, and I'll disagree with you here, why would you cut Antonio Brown now when that would basically give him a chance to latch on with the Rams and learn their playbook, or allows him to go to Green Bay where they have no problem with this kind of stuff, I guess, on some weird way? Or, of course, Bill Belichick probably scoops him up. He knows that playbook. And he gets a 3-week jump while he's suspended. He can listen, you know, study up.
I never said release him. The only reason for doing it is to send a message to the rest of the team. You know, we stand behind what we said. We can't stomach what this guy did. Now, that's a tough one, because from a football standpoint, the guy is playing great football. He could be picked up by another team. I never said release him. But I wouldn't mind the Bucks suspending him a couple of more games on their own and let the guy play the last game of the regular season. I wouldn't mind that.
And I want to make that clear. You never wrote, never even implied, cut him tomorrow. And, of course, you wouldn't be afraid to say that. So I think that's where people got lost a little bit there. Ira, what about the fans, though? Where do you think why are the haters coming out of the woodwork?
I think the number one reason, 90%, is they're thinking about lifting up the Vince Lombardi trophy. Steve, and I understand that. I do understand that. Brown gives you a better chance. Steve, I can't argue that. Brown gives you a better chance of going all the way than playing without Antonio Brown. I mean, nobody's going to dispute that. And I think this is unfortunate. We get into all the politics, the science versus the anti-science, the vaccines. I don't really want to get into that. It's messy. You're not going to change anybody's mind in that debate. But I'm focused on Antonio Brown being disloyal to this organization with a history of transgressions and with the explicit knowledge that he was one screw up away from being bounced, and then he thinks it's okay to lie to the organization. I got a problem with that, Steve.
Well, I got a problem with anybody who's coming after you, because there are plenty of reasons to come after the sage, but not don't make them up. Don't fabricate them. You know, if you want to blast his picks, if you want to blast his takes, I get it, but come on, folks. And of course, your fans here on the podcast, not a lot of haters mixed in here on the podcast, Ira, among your the thousands of adoring fans you have. But you said a good, interesting thing there about Brown on the field.
I thought all signs pointed to Antonio Brown, if not for this game, certainly the Buffalo game at home. And I think he makes a big difference. Lee, I've said it before. This season, when Brown played, and I think he's only been in five games, Lee, five. I thought he was the best receiver on the Bucs. I don't think that's a stretch. No knock on Evans and Godwin. But I think he was the most dangerous guy. And Lee, with the checkdowns, I think that would change. If Brown's in the lineup, defenses have to respect that. And I think it opens things up considerably. But Lee, I'm not sure when he's coming back. I mean, this is a little bit, you know, now I'm hearing about the heel. What's going on with this injury?
To be blunt, it sounds major because Arians has pretty much clammed up about it. It initially was a sprained ankle. Then Arians said it was a bone spur. Now it's his heel, and he's not. And Arians isn't specific. It sounds major. It's to the point now where I hope Brown is available for the playoffs. Very, very interesting to me, even though I was disappointed. Antonio Brown did a rare interview. He appeared on Richard Sherman's podcast. Nothing about the damn ankle. Nothing.
See, when he comes back, I don't know how effective he'll be if the injury is this major.
Well, Sage, let me play doctor here for a minute, and not the kind that you used to do in the 60s with Muriel Berkowitz. Antonio Brown, regarding his injury, Bruce Arians, and you know, nobody else reported it except for us, a Joe Bucks fan. He was on the radio 2-3 weeks ago saying Brown's got a bone spur, and that bone spur affected the sprained ankle in some way, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And that's all he said. Now, I'm playing doctor here by saying sprained ankles heal, but bone spurs don't heal. Anybody who's had a bone spur knows it's a bone spur. You either deal with the pain, deal with how it's obstructing your movement, or you have surgery. So bone spurs don't go away. There's no cure for them. They have to be shaved off. So if he's not having surgery and the bone spur affected his ankle somehow, I don't know how it's ever going to be perfect if it's somehow a problem and affecting this. So it's kind of dicey. You know, Arians had just said he was a little bit more springy and he looked like he was better. And then now they've had obviously a setback if you read between the lines. So I don't know. I mean, maybe Brown is just going to wait to play on it and deal with the pain, whatever that is, for the playoffs so he can help the Bucks when they really need it and make a little drive for a contract versus coming back too soon. So I don't know, but it doesn't sound good, like Lee said.
I think the guy's a difference maker, Lee. I do.
He is.
You know, he was playing like his old self. You know, these two high safeties everybody's talking about against the Bucks, and that's what you do against the Chiefs, and now they're doing it against the Bucks. Lee, Antonio Brown is the guy that can catch the 9-yard slant. Steve, check me on this. I think I'm right, but Brown was like averaging a touchdown a game for like the last 10 or 11 games he's played for the Bucks. He's got like 10 touchdowns in 11 games.
I got to hit the timeout button about this. You know, the Bucks can't throw a 2-deep safety. Once again, I'll point you to Greg Cosell, broke down video of how the Bucks are able to beat that coverage. Video evidence, X's and O's breakdown. So all of this, you know, oh my God, they can't pass the ball, 2-deep safety. Oh, the humanity. I mean, it's a pretty narrative, and it's also pretty nonsense. Like I said, Greg Cosell, one of the smartest analysts there is, has video evidence showing how they break that two. And by the way, this 2-deep safety stuff. I was watching a video today, an interview that ESPN did with Chris Godwin and Mike Evans. And for whatever reason, it hit me. How is it these guys were successful throughout their careers without Antonio Brown and Rob Gronkowski? They were catching deep balls all the time. Are we to believe that no team had a 2-deep safety on the Bucs until 6 weeks ago? That's a little difficult for me to believe.
Yeah, part of it is just this twisted perspective that everybody seems to have. Not everybody, but a lot of people. I mean, The Bucs have the number one passing offense, most attempts, most yards, most touchdown passes, and Godwin and Evans are on pace for a 1,000-yard season. So it's like, well, what do you want? You know, calm down.
We have certainly noticed in the last two or three games the number of passes sent Fournette's way, Lee, it's really increased. The number of times Brady is throwing 6-yard passes on 3rd and 9, hoping that the guys break a tackle instead of going for a 15-yard pass. They're not throwing a lot of 20-yard completions, Lee. They're just not. Now, the good news is they're running the ball very well, and they're scoring points. So, in the grand scheme of things, it may not matter.
Yep, scoring points is the key element. Yep.
Let me throw this at you this way. So, the Buccaneers' defense, essentially, we're getting to the point of being almost completely healthy. We don't really know what Devin White is dealing with. He'll probably play, but we don't really know where he's at. And we talked about, can the Bucs go all the way if he's not really himself? You said no, but we'll see. It remains to be seen what this new Jordan Whitehead injury is. His pulled calf. We'll know more next week. Joe Tryon. I'll ask you this, Ira. Joe Tryon, he's shown some flashes. He's been able to rush inside a little bit. He's done a little bit of a lot of different things. Is he the player you think he should be as we sit here on December 2nd? And do you think he has it in him? Is it there for him to sort of be a factor in a playoff run where, hey, this kid just took a leap. He is dangerous now. He is the preseason version of Joe Tryon, yet playing against real NFL players. Do you see that coming, or you think, understandably so, that he might be a year away?
Well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, gentlemen. But for Sean Sullivan and everyone who thinks like Sean Sullivan, I think you got to be pretty pleased about the rookie season of Joe Tryon. I didn't think he was going to go out and get double-digit sacks. He's not on the field all that much because I think they feel JPP just adds a presence, and they're not in any hurry to cut JPP's snaps down maybe as much as I would. But Lee, Trump has shown me enough to think that he is going to be a quality NFL player sooner rather than later. I'm not going to say he's going to be a big factor in this year's playoffs. I'm not going there. But Lee, he's certainly not a disappointment in my mind. Considering the opportunities he gets, I tend to notice this guy on the field. I notice him. And I think he's going to be a very good player.
Yeah, I'm not sweating over Joe Tryon. I'm sweating more about JPP self. He clearly, I mean, the Indianapolis game, you watch the Indianapolis game, he clearly is not healthy. He's not the same guy. But I know why he's out there, because they know, they being the Bucs, they know he's still pretty good at the run defense. That's why he's out there.
Ira, this run defense, and it really demands, the sage to tap his sage-like contacts, because after what they did in Indianapolis and just the whole last 2.5 years, it really is the best run defense of the modern era over a stretch. You know, maybe not for 10 games or maybe not for one season, but over time, over a significant block, it is the very best. I'm not exactly sure why. I don't know who the key component is. It would be interesting to really study that somehow, and I think you could pull that off, Ira, because you know they still ran this or handled the run this well without Vita Vea last year, so there's more to it. There's Lavonte David. We know the players, but it's fascinating, and after what happened in Indianapolis, my biggest takeaway from that is that the run defense is as rock solid as ever, and that bodes very well for the playoffs, I think.
I think it starts right at the top, and by that I mean Todd Bowles. Lee, even with a battered secondary, Lee, I think the priority never changed for this defense. Stop the run, make them one-dimensional. We're tired of hearing it, Lee. It's such a cliche. But it works pretty well. And Steve's right. Over a period of time, this is the premier rush defense in this league. Just like, Lee, from like 97 to 2002 or 2003, the Buck defense was the premier defense. Not every year, but over that period of time, that was the number one defense overall. The components, Lee, obviously Vea, Sue is a big, big part of it. Don't forget about Golston in that regard. You mentioned JPP, you know, rotator cuff and all. He's still stout against the run. The linebackers plugging the gaps. It's a joint effort, no question about it. But I think it starts with the two interior guys, Sue and Vea. You can't run inside against them. They have such pride, Lee, tremendous pride on that unit and stopping the run. And it showed throughout the first half of the Indy game, three quarters of the Indy game. Taylor went nowhere. Taylor was killing people, including Buffalo. And there ain't nothing shabby about the Bills' defense. Even their run defense, I believe, was number three till Taylor came to town. They couldn't handle him. He went nowhere, Lee. Absolutely nowhere against Tampa. One guy over 100 yards in the last 38, 39 games. That speaks volumes.
And that's Williams Cook, right?
And I don't think they're losing sleep over, you know, Mike Davis or whoever the Falcons are going to throw out there, Lee. it's one hell of a unit.
Ira, I've got a challenge for you. You ready for a challenge?
Certainly, my friend.
All right, Lee, you think Ira's ready for a challenge? What do you think?
Depends what the challenge is.
Good answer.
I don't think if you challenge him to find something on Instagram that Ira's going to complete that task.
That's true. He'd be better off at Zen Forest looking for the sesame chicken. All right. All right, Ira, look, first... the challenge is going to be, it's going to put you on the spot, Sage, which is something we love to do on this podcast. It's why fans listen, and fans also listen for our advice and our heartfelt direction. And that also comes in the form of telling everybody to use Florida's Elite Restoration when they have a disaster in their home, fire, flood, mold, whatever it is. You call them 24/7 and they'll respond and give you an honest, free assessment of the issue in your home. Owner Josh Martin, 14 years as an insurance adjuster. He knows how to play that game. If you want or have a situation that you need to use your insurance company, they can handle that for you and make it smooth, make sure you don't get ripped off. And business owners across the Bay Area, especially property managers, plumbers, air conditioning companies, you can reach out to Josh Martin because you know that your customers always have need for disaster restoration services, and you can trust Florida's Elite Restoration. I'll call Josh. He'll tell you how the company works, what they do, why they're so honest, why they have a great reputation. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Make the call 24/7. Don't hesitate to reach out with any questions. Tell them Ira sent you. So many customers have called from the podcast when that, horrible moment arises, Ira. You know how it is. You come home, you flush the toilet, you step away. Next thing you know, you're swimming in your bathroom.
It's happened to me on more than one occasion. Now, that might be because of what kind of stuff I'm putting down there or how much I'm putting down there. I understand that. But, Lee, everybody that's listening to this podcast knows that one of the great fears on a daily basis is you don't want to get ripped off by an auto mechanic. Your air conditioner goes out, the guy comes, it should have been a $100 job, it's $1,200. Lee, a plumber, a roofer. Lee, it's a big fear of people that you go into a so-called expert and you're putting yourself in their hands and you don't know if you can trust them. And I think that's what's the great thing about Florida's Elite Restoration. We know Josh, we know people that have used the company, we know the people in the company. The guys that are dishonest will always look for those big jobs, and Florida's Elite Restoration is not like that. They have a heck of a reputation. Their word's their bond. And, Lee, that's all you want is an honest assessment. That's what you're going to get with Florida's Elite Restoration.
Ira, I want an honest assessment right now. You just told us the Buccaneers were going to beat the Falcons. Okay, not a stretch. We all agreed, but in different degrees. So I ask you now, Ira, you predicted the Bucs would go 14-3 this season. That was the Sage prediction. Are they going to run the table? They come back for Buffalo at home. Then you got the Saints at home, the Panthers twice, and the Jets. Do the Bucs run the table? And is that going to be good enough for the number one seed?
They absolutely run the table. I like the fact that the Buffalo game's at home. Lee, they play very, very well at home. And you never know what Buffalo team's going to show up. They're kind of quirky. Josh Allen's kind of going backwards. We'll see what happens this week. They got New England this week, Lee. I'm not sure they're going to win that game. So I like the Bucs schedule. I was talking to the Mad Dog. Lee, you couldn't order up anything better, except for maybe the Jaguars. You know, what else could you ask for?
Yeah, I heard both of you guys, and I couldn't understand it. It sounded like you were outraged at the Bucs. Like they're the ones picking the schedule.
You're right. It ain't the Bucs' fault.
You ought to be celebrating that. Like, thank God they got an easy schedule. You guys were like, oh my God, they need to be suspended for the horror that they're playing bad teams. I couldn't understand this conversation you guys were having. It's like, what the hell?
Well, it leads me to my point that the Bucs are going to run the table, Lee, and end up 14-3. Last year, I picked them as 11-5 and not to win their division. That was correct. I didn't know they were going to go on the road and create havoc in the postseason. And I got to think, Lee, 14-3 will get you the number one seed. And if that happens, I think the Bucs will be prohibitive favorites to repeat.
Wow. I can't go there only because something... You know, it's not in my nature to be that rosy. Something's going to happen. And plus, you got to hope that both Green Bay and Atlanta lose, or not, excuse me, not Atlanta, but Arizona lose a couple games. I'm not sure that they will, especially Green Bay. They're playing excellent ball.
You know who's doing a hell of a job, Steve? Joe Barry.
I was going to say Kingsbury, but you're right. Barry has done a nice job.
Yeah, the Packers.
They were playing terrible defense for about a month there.
And Steve, Raheem Morris, I don't think he's doing a very good job in L.A. because it looks a little shaky.
I told you I was listening to you and Russo. And after you hung up, and I know you don't listen to Russo after you hang up, some guy not long after that, a Rams fan, called up and absolutely unloaded on Raheem Morris. I mean unloaded on the guy.
Wow.
It was hilarious.
Did he say anything specifically about what kind of scheme they're playing?
Yeah, I can't remember. I was just laughing because the guy was just killing him. It was just funny to hear.
Remaining for the Packers, they have to play at the Ravens, so that's a tough spot. And they've got their rematch with the Vikings, who, of course, beat them a couple of weeks ago.
You know, every year we look for weaknesses on Green Bay, and we don't think they're that good, and every year they win 12, 13 games, Lee. I mean, it's a good organization they got going over there.
And then Aaron Rodgers chokes in the playoffs.
Playing his ass off, Lee.
Now, he's played his ass off many times. And then January comes, and he...
All right, Ira, for Sunday's game, Sage, for Sunday's Bucs game at Atlanta at the Dome there, what are you looking for? Give me a couple of things you think are going to happen, a couple of things that you think the Bucs might try to make happen, even if they don't work and they have to adjust. I'm thinking that just because it's something that the Bucs tend to do, when Mike Evans disappears for a little while, they come back strong to him, and Atlanta doesn't really have the horses to contain him. I think Mike Evans will be a bit of a focus, and they might play Gronk a little bit less on the turf here if they get a lead to try to, because he played a ton of snaps last game. I don't know, but what are you looking at, Ira?
I'm with you on the Evans thing. I think the combo of Evans and Godwin will be major factors in terms of getting some deep balls done, scoring some touchdowns. That hasn't been a problem for Evans, but Godwin needs to reach the end zone a few more times. You know what I'm really looking for is them burying Matt Ryan. And because I think they realize the first half of last year's game in Atlanta and even the week two game this year, Lee, when you don't make Ryan uncomfortable, he can hurt you. And he will hurt you. And Devin White had some success against the Falcons, causing some havoc up there. I don't know that he's 100%, but I think the pass rush, I think Shaq, I'm looking for Barrett to finish strong. He made the play of the year last week. I think the play of the year in terms of significance, although you could argue Winfield's interception was just as good as the sack strip, and I won't argue that, but it wasn't as important. I think Shaq Barrett's going to finish very strongly. I think he's got 7.5. I think he's going to finish with about 13 sacks, and I think he's going to get busy in Atlanta. I'm looking for the Buck pass rush to have Ryan most of the day.
I seem to recall Devin White does pretty good against Matty Ice.
He does.
Am I off base?
No. He killed him in that game in Atlanta last year. Devin White finished really strong.
And I seem to recall he did okay this year against Atlanta.
Yeah.
Am I remembering that correctly? I believe they
are bringing out the best in Devin White. Yes.
Yeah, so I'm looking for Devin White to continue that.
You know, this year, White had kind of a quiet game for him against Atlanta. I guess what probably stood out the most was then when Matt Ryan sidestepped him on a blitz. He looked like Ryan was going to just get mauled, yeah. and he did a nice little dance away from Devin White and completed a pass. You know, it's certainly a game made for him because, you know, Ryan takes so many sacks. I'm with you, Ira, as far as Shaq having a strong day. A key that we're looking for, and that should happen because JPP is kind of washed out at this point. Mike Evans, 6 consecutive games, Ira, without a 100-yard game, without an 80-yard game. So it's been a long streak for him. You know, hopefully, he'll get back to that.
Hey guys, one aspect of this team, and Lee, we don't talk about it very much. Everybody says it's 1/3 of the game. I don't know if I believe that. You know, through 11 games on special teams, you know, I got to give him like a C. I mean, a C minus. Lee, I don't see much out of these special teams. The return game, the coverage unit almost blew the game last week. I think they got a lot of room for improvement there.
I've thought this before, and nothing has really changed my mind. I thought it was a mistake to elevate Jalen Darden and basically get rid of Mickens. If you're actually trying for a Super Bowl, you keep the guy, you keep your players who are producing. Mickens produced. Jalen Darden, to me, looks like a glorified bad Dexter Jackson. He takes these big, sweeping half circles to run on the other side of the field, thinking he's going to outrun these guys, and you know what? NFL players are quicker than Conference USA. He hasn't impressed me at all. I know he's a favorite of Arians, and if the head coach likes you, well, you're going to be in good shape. But he hasn't impressed me at all. How many games has he played? I understand he's a rookie. I understand he's looking, or he's learning. I understand that sometimes they're not blocking for him. Is that to say they were blocking for Mickens and they weren't blocking for Darden? If that's the case, that's pretty damning on the rest of the special teams. So obviously Mickens is gone. He's with the Jags. I just think that was a mistake. Mickens was producing, and I just didn't see any reason why you would get rid of him for an unknown. You know, what Darden did in July in training camp is not the middle of an NFL season when you're trying to repeat a Super Bowl champs.
If they ever block a punt or get a punt return of 38 yards, I think DeKemper would fall off his chair. Steve, it just doesn't happen. There's no juice to these special teams. No juice.
No, it's not good, Ira. And Mickens is comfortable and happy doing what I'll call the reverse Steve McClendon. Mickens is now in Jacksonville returning kicks. Good for him, reviving his career. Sage, Arians was on his own radio show on the Buccaneers Radio Network, and he blasted the special teams. You know, we remember Bradley Pinion's muffed punt, the first one of the game, and Arians explained it as, well, the Colts had blocked a few kicks this season, and I think Pinion got a little concerned and hurried up his kick and muffed it. What the hell's going on? The guy's a veteran punter. They weren't anywhere near him, and he kicks a 14-yard kick to open up the game. And then he said the coverage teams, that they just got outrun, they got out hit, they got out blocked, and is just not good. And he implied that Darden has a learning curve on short kicks. If you notice, the Colts kept kicking it short to Darden. He'd catch it at the, the 6-yard line. He'd get to the 24. It was just, I keep hearing that he's fast and quick, but it doesn't show up on the returns. You know, once in a while you see a flash, but it's not very good. And the sad thing about it is They're never going to change the special teams coordinator because he's Arian's good friend. And they drafted to improve their special teams, and it may be a little better, but it's certainly not among the better units in the NFL.
You know, Steve, that, I forgot about that point. The draft was very special team-centric, right, Lee?
Yeah.
Arian's talked about it. Light talked about it. Even Tryon, to an extent, on the coverage units. Darden certainly, it hasn't worked out, Lee. I don't see it from Darden. Lee, that thing that Arian said about to explain Pinion's 14-yard punt, I mean, that's something that a high school coach says. Come on, you can't do that. Pinion does a lot of good stuff. His kickoffs normally are tremendous. The guy's the number one touchback guy in the league, and that helps you. It does. Everybody's starting on a 25 against the Bucks, and, you know, that helps. But, Lee, unless the special teams units improve as a whole, I'm afraid, you know, one breakdown in January, and your season could be done.
Oh, yeah. And by the way, with Pinion, let's hold off a little bit on anointing him as the greatest kickoff specialist the NFL has seen. They needed a big kickoff for a touchback on Sunday. Look what happened.
Yeah.
Damn near lost the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he, you know, that was just so goofy because the guy was lined up in the back of the end zone. So normally that would be a touchback, but of course he was going to return it. It was just a coaching mistake. But there are no mistakes by the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, maybe a few, but we ignore them all. Sage will be out at Big Storm Brewery Sunday, having a great time with Bucks fans, food, beer. Load up on Big Storm beer this weekend. The Bromosa is fantastic. You got to try it. It's in Publix. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration, floridaselite-restoration.com. And Sean Sullivan, the GM at Bill Curry Ford, he's hungry. He is hungry to give you that deal for the holidays. They've got great holiday offers. Just start shopping at BillCurryFord.com. Ira, we're out of here. You got any farewell address for the Bucks fans? And don't tell them to come and see you at Big Storm. You have any wisdom to share, Ira?
Well, I got wisdom is that they know me so well over there that I show up and there's a Kolsch waiting for me at the table. I gotta make some headway into that menu at Big Storm. I might go for the Cuban. I'm looking for some tips from you, Lee. I know you've been up and down that menu. Everything I've had has been outstanding. I need to diversify a little bit, my man.
When I have a Cuban at Big Storm, it's always at Odessa, and it's dynamite at Odessa. So I'd heartily recommend them. At Odessa, they use smoked pork. Not just pork, smoked pork. That's all the difference in the world. It's fantastic.
Lee, when you said those words, it was almost like you were thinking of, you know, maybe a little Kay Adams or something. It's just the way you said smoked pork, Lee. It was very lascivious.
Oh.
We're out of here, Steve.